Welcome to the Life by Design podcast with your hosts, Jesslyn and Brian Pearson. We work with professional couples to help resolve conflict and elevate communication within their relationship.
We are the creators of the Discover, Define, Design framework, which supports you in resolving conflict and communicating better.
This week, our topic is on adversity. Adversity can impact us in so many ways. And because it does strike everyone, we're actually going to break this into a two-part series. And in our two-part series, we're going to focus on what we call CORE. And that stands for control, ownership, reach, and endurance when it comes to adversity. So this part one is going to focus on the C and O, control and ownership of adversity. So Brian, what is adversity?
Well, in relationships, it happens a lot, as everyone out there probably knows. There's you and your partner, you and your family, you and your kids often engage in arguments and problems of all sorts. And that's pretty well what adversity is all the stuff of life that comes at you and tries to impact your way of life.
Yeah. And that, I mean, can come from angles unknown. It can be anything from an illness, job loss, destruction to the home, the pandemic, which everyone experienced.
Pandemic is a huge one, yeah.
So why is it important?
Because you have to face it. It's going to happen. There's no way to avoid adversity in life. There's no way to avoid adversity in your relationship. And there's no way to move forward, especially moving forward. You have to experience adversity in order to get anything new and anything bigger in life.
Right. And the sooner you can understand it and understand your role in it, the easier you can move through it. Mm-hmm. So typically, how does it work?
In a relationship, it usually looks like blame or maybe resignation. So one partner just giving up. Maybe you just kind of give up on your kids because they're little brats for whatever reason.
Right.
Maybe you give up on your family. Like, you know, you got sisters or brothers or a mom and a dad that just don't communicate or operate properly inside of the family. And you just experience a lot of adversity and conflict when it comes to dealing with those people.
Yes.
You mentioned money and job loss. That can create a lot of strife in a relationship as well, which turns into blame or like that giving up factor.
Yep. Same with illness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So our first takeaway is going to focus on control. So how much are you letting adversity control you? Or put another way, for those who caught our last podcast, how much is adversity taking away your choice?
Mm-hmm. Control and choice are fairly intermixed because there are things that you can control and there are things that you cannot control. And if you continually try to fight for those things that you can't control, you're basically giving up your choice on those things. You're trying to make a choice where somewhere you in an area you simply just don't have a choice to make.
And that causes so much angst and negativity. I know a great example for that one was when we had our first son, and it ended up being an emergency C-section, which of course I wasn't expecting and I didn't plan for. And so the planner in me, I lost control, right? I had no choice. It was just, hey, this is happening, let's roll. And throughout, I was trying to maintain some sense of control and I couldn't. And that caused a longer healing time. It took me 4 days to get out of the hospital for that one. And there was a lot more pain, a lot more suffering, a lot more just, I guess, misunderstanding. And I mean, at that time, I didn't realize I was hanging on so tight to just grasp control and understand this and what does that look like. And then of course, babe number two, when I was told it was going to be another C-section a few days in advance of having him, at first I was against it. And then when I realized medically, it was what it was.
And it was the best decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And you helped me work through that. And so, but once I accepted it, and I did have more control because I accepted that that's what was going to happen. I got to book when it happened and prepare for it. But then just even as it was happening, I knew what to expect because I'd been through it.
Mm-hmm.
But also I took ownership. Like, this is what it is. This is how it's happening. This is whether I chose the C-section or not at first isn't as important as the fact that I chose it secondly, because that was my only real option. And just owning that, I was in the hospital 2 days. In and out, 2 days. I healed much quicker. And just, I had a different frame of mind. I had such a lot more positive. And it's incredible that I mean, now looking back, reviewing those two experiences and just the whole dynamic around it based on really the control and choice over not.
The difference between those two babies was incredible. Like our first son, like you said, a lot of difficulty. And ultimately what you were fighting for was areas of control where you had no control.
Exactly.
Like you were, I don't know if you were actually mad at the doctors, but you were somewhat mad at the doctors because you didn't have control to have a natural birth, which is what you wanted.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're in this emergency C-section with no control over what's happening, yet you're still trying to take control over what's happening. And that fight for what you can't have, what is just never going to be in your control, created you a lot of heartache and a lot of issues.
And it was exhausting on my body, just the mental state of that, never mind the whole procedure and everything I was physically going through.
Yeah. And then the second time you basically gave up control on the areas you knew you couldn't control. They couldn't affect you anymore. You chose to not have control over those situations rather than choosing to try and fight for control over those situations.
Yeah. Gotta wonder, looking back, if those situations by any means played the dynamic of our sons, where the second one is so calm compared to our first one. Anyways.
Oh yeah. Both fantastic kids, but yeah, the first kid under the emergency C-section.
He's a fighter.
He's a fighter, very impatient, needs to get his way.
Yeah.
The second one, chill, waits it out, will do what he needs to do to get his way, calm. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Oh, too funny.
I'm pretty sure there's some dynamic going on there. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Another story I want to share about, I think, control would be throughout the pandemic. Of course, there's lots of opinions going around on what it was, what it wasn't, vaccines, whether you should be vaccinated or not. And that was everyone's choice. But there were the repercussions of the choices you made in that. And I know because I chose to get vaccinated, as did my older sister, and my parents chose not to. And while that in and of itself caused me strife, because my mom has a lot of illnesses she's dealing with, and I was just, you know, wanting her to make the best choices for her health. But she made the choices she made. And then, of course,
later on,
when we were allowed to go out and visit, we went to see my grandma, who was in a
care home.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But she was ready to go.
Yeah. She was nearing end of life.
Yeah.
And of course, to be able to visit there, you had to be vaccinated, of course, mask up. There were no ifs, ands, or buts about that. They weren't going to change those rules. And so we were there, and my sister and I got to go see my grandma, and my mom obviously couldn't because of the choices she made.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we lost my grandma, I think, 2 weeks later.
It was really quick after.
Yeah. But you just got to look at the control I didn't have for my mom.
Yeah.
But for me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You took control where you knew you could take control. And that looked like I wanted to see my grandma. So I need to get vaccinated in order to see my grandma before she passes away. Yeah. And the area you couldn't control was your parents. You could not force them to get vaccinated, so that even though you knew that it would cause problems into the future and your mom would not be able to see her mom before she passed away, there was no control over it. You couldn't force your mom to get a vaccination in order to see her mom.
Yeah.
And you freed yourself from a lot of mental and heartache by making that choice.
Yeah.
Saying, I don't have control. Like, this is just not something that I have control over.
Yeah. What was in my control was what I could do.
Yeah. What you could do. Yeah.
And then the choices from there stemmed based on how that transpired. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Around the pandemic for me, I remember I did not have, I was like you in the C-section. I was fighting for control over my environment when all of a sudden these kids landed in our house and we were working from home.
And by these kids, you mean ours?
Yeah. These kids who were supposed to be at school. Yeah. Not to all the neighborhood kids, but our kids who, as I was saying, we work from home. So, you know, that time while they're at school is our work time. That's when we got things done. And all of a sudden these kids who weren't supposed to be there during that time landed in the house. And I had no control over that. The world had pretty well been shutting down at that point. So I remember very distinctly fighting for control over that situation and not really realizing that I had no control over that situation.
Yeah.
That the kids were in the house. There was not much I could do about that. And I had to manage it in the best way that I could. And it took months for me to come around to a solution. And the solution was coming around to knowing that I had no control.
Yeah, but I think a part that played in there is also like a little bit of the unknown. So we knew they closed the schools down, but they didn't give us a time frame because no one could. We didn't know. So we were thinking like a couple weeks, a couple months. And then as it just kept going, it's like, oh, like I've got to figure this out.
Oh, yeah. And this is what you were talking about at the beginning in the podcast. Like adversity comes from anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah.
And it often happens when you're never going to see it coming. You won't see adversity coming. Sometimes you'll know, most of the time you won't. And this is one of those situations. I remember either I wasn't checking the news too much at that point, but but I remember coming in on the Monday morning and my coworkers were packing up their stuff at their desk. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, Alberta shut down. Like everyone's going home. And I'm like, what, really? And then all of a sudden, like the kids, and then all of a sudden this, that, and everything else that happened in the pandemic started to hit me and literally came out of left field for me. And all of a sudden I'm in a situation where I never expected myself to be.
And I think that left a lot of individuals scrambling, families trying to figure out who's going to help educate and manage the kids.
Oh,
same with like aging parents. And now you're at home with your spouse also we were starting to work together a lot more then. So we were experiencing it more, but most couples don't. They go to their office or their place of work and then they come home and see each other. So now you're with your significant other all day. Yeah. That alone caused like anger and arguments and strife for many individuals.
Yeah, I'm grateful for two things that happened in that time period. And it was actually the same action, but two really beneficial things came out of it. Number one is we started working from home.
Yeah.
So just working from home and already being at home before the pandemic happened was fantastic. And then secondly, we were working from home together.
Yeah.
So like we didn't have to try to experience what it was like to work with our partner inside of the house together already. So both of those things, we kind of checked off those boxes before the pandemic hit. And I'm really grateful that it kind of happened that way. Cause like you said, I think a lot of relationships did not experience it that way.
Yeah.
I know we have a lot of friends who work out of town, and I've seen the dynamics of some of their relationships change when the husband or the wife comes back in to town. Their job changes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're in the house a little bit more often. And all of a sudden the relationship doesn't go south or anything, but like you can see that there's all of a sudden an adversity level in the house that wasn't there before. And I'm not even sure most people look at it like an adversity thing where all of a sudden their environment and their life is impacted in a way that they didn't have a week ago or a month ago.
Yeah. Things shift in terms of all the freedom they had and control of their lifestyle at home with the kids, whatever they did in the day. You now have a partner in there who is in your space, who maybe can or can't help, but you're now got to work around that. And that's not something you originally accounted for. So yeah, it causes a bit of disruption for sure.
Yeah. Huge disruption. Yeah. What are some other areas that we see in ourselves and in other couples that experience some control and some ownership problems in terms of adversity?
I think money is always always a key topic for almost anything, but
money, real estate for us.
Yep.
as real estate investors, it took a long, there was a lot of adversity at the beginning.
Yep.
Mostly with me.
Yeah, I was fine with it all.
she made the decisions and then I had to make sure it actually worked. But at the beginning, even though I owned property, I was kind of against becoming a real estate investor.
Yeah.
And part of that adversity was just sort of the knowledge of it. So the control of having a real estate portfolio, I didn't know where I had to control it. I didn't know where I had no control over that portfolio. Probably the fact that it was your decision initially kind of made me like react a little bit, saying, I don't know, this is not my decision, this is your decision.
Yeah, exactly.
So it took a while for us to get on board with real estate.
Well, also understanding our roles in it, right? Because we both were thinking we could just both do everything, and it took time to sort out where our strengths really lied in that, and what I had to let go of, and what you had to let go of, and what we had to accept in that whole environment and way of doing business when it came to real estate.
Yeah. Yeah. We're both certified real estate investment advisors. And inside of that course, it's funny, there's no actual real estate advice in the certificate that we earned for ourselves, because most real estate investors can't even figure out if they can even handle real estate and should even be in real estate. And that was one of the things that we had to figure out too, is like, okay, what is our sleep at night factor? Like when we invest in real estate, what is going to be the thing that allows us to sleep at night?
Yeah. And so it's around mindset, really.
Yeah. And a lot of people should just not be real estate investors.
Yeah. It's not easy.
It's not easy. No, most people don't have the grit. They don't have the determination. They don't have the ownership as we've been talking about. And we had to find that out too. And we ended up, real estate is so vast. Like the real estate investment sphere is so vast, and there's so many different ways to make real estate work for you, but a lot of them didn't work for us. And we had to really figure out, okay, where can we handle the adversity of this type of real estate? Where can we handle the adversity of that type of real estate? And we ended up boiling it down to our personal sleep at night factor, which is the portfolio we have right now. Yeah. And there are literally no problems in the portfolio.
No, there's no problems in our portfolio. But once we figured out what we kind of want to do in real estate and whose role was what, that the adversity didn't stop, right? So it still hit us. So when we decided we wanted to sell one of our properties and the market dipped, and we're like, ooh, like that's going to be a huge hit. If we sell, what do we do? Like, you got to figure that out. Or when one of our sewers backed up, or our basement flooded in one of our properties, like those still happen.
Oh yeah.
It's just, how do we manage it now?
Yeah. But those things that happen are inside of what we consider to be our sphere of control and our sphere of ownership.
Yes.
And because we consider them to be in that sphere, and we know what we can control, we know what we have ownership of, none of that causes us any strife.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, oh, the sewer backed up. Okay, let's go deal with it.
Yeah.
And trust me, a sewer backup is gross. No one wants to deal with it. But the fact is that we already understood where that particular event was lying inside of our sphere of control or our sphere of ownership.
Yeah. And I mean, it took us time. Like, this didn't happen overnight. It took years of building and understanding this to get to where we are. But as a new, say, real estate investor or even a homeowner, when something like that hits, it's big and
huge.
Like, if you haven't dealt with it, that's the first step. Like, you're trying to figure out, oh my gosh, what do I even do with this situation? And then everything surrounding it. And there's not just that, there's the money, because there's always money impacts of that. Yep. There's emotions. And now you've got your partner going, like, either they're with you or they're not, you're not sure, but like, they're stressing about the money. They're feeling the emotion too. Like, it can just blow up if you don't learn how to kind of manage the control and the ownership of a situation right off the hop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, money is a big thing in a lot of relationships. Yeah. Money is a big thing for you. We come from different mindsets in that sense. And that's part of the reason, as you were saying, you know, finding out our roles inside of our real estate portfolio, there are certain things that I do that you never know about because they have very high adversity, like content for you.
Right.
And so for you to deal with that, for you to even think about that is like stressful.
Yeah.
Right. For me, no big deal. It's just something to handle inside of the relationship.
Yeah.
There's other things that you handle that are, as you know, are really big stressors for me. And so we have this kind of dynamic where it's like, I understand that you can handle this, but I can't handle this. So why don't you take the ball here and yeah. I'll take the ball over there.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to do that inside of a relationship. It's not exactly an equal playing field.
No, it's about understanding the roles and where you have control and where you don't. And I'm going to lean into that a little bit more for the example. So when it comes to real estate and money, for me, when tenants didn't pay, I'd like, my heart rater would go right up. I'd be so like furious. I'd be like, what? Just pay. But you knew that. You learned that early enough on to just not really tell me. And you would manage them and you do it fantastically, but that's in your personality where it wasn't in mine. And for me to accept, firstly, that's not my personality and that's okay. Secondly, that I'm going to give you the control 100% on managing the tenants and the money,
yep.
right? There's a lot there to kind of break apart and understand and be okay with.
Yeah. Like I knew I could not control having tenants that were, you know, making six digits and upstanding citizens and all these things that the perfect tenant looks like. I have fantastic tenants, but they are not fantastic for how to say, like someone who would very easily interact with you, right? Because you're a very career driven woman. You're looking for a lot of different businesses to start up. You have a lot of activities going on. So the tenants that we would have in our portfolio are not necessarily those kind of people. And you had a tough time like associating that, like why they weren't kind of coming up to your level. And I think that can be a big problem in a lot of adversity, is that kind of like what I was saying earlier, sometimes the other partner has to handle the ball.
Yep.
And if you can't figure out like which person has to handle the ball, that alone can create strife. So in certain situations, I just take that ball away from you because it's my turn to play the game. And yeah. Some other situations you need to handle the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if we really rolled in there, but we were talking about it. The takeaway number two, which was ownership. Mm-hmm. To what extent do you hold yourself responsible for improving the situation or accountable and playing a role to make it better? I know we walked through that one, but I wanted to make sure we let our listeners know what takeaway two was.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the opposite, the easiest way to explain it, ownership is the opposite of it. And that's blame, which I'm sure anyone out there in a relationship has experienced. Either they are blaming their partner or they are being blamed by their partner for something.
Yeah.
And in both cases, it's a lack of ownership that's going on. So you're either not aware that you should have ownership of it, or you just don't want to take ownership of it. And early on in our relationship, there was a lot of blame.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Everywhere. Like in all situations, family and kids and money and all kinds of stuff. And until we started taking ownership of all those individual things, did we really stop blaming each other? And so it wasn't like a you game.
Yeah.
It was started off as a me game. Like where do I have to start? Where do I have to take ownership in order to like stop all the blame and make the relationship better and then make the family better?
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about ownership when it came to, you know, even just me owning the fact that I was having the second C-section and where ownership lied in the real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So takeaway three is adversity is unpredictable and can strike at any time.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot. Real estate happens all the time. Family happens all the time.
Illness.
Like, I guess this is a story of adversity, but when we were in Mexico just recently, a bottle fell on one of the tile floors and cut our 10-year-old son's ankle. You were off at the spa at that time.
Yep.
And, you know, we handled it, you know, his first stitches were in Mexico. That's not a typical event to happen for a 10-year-old. But it literally had no impact on the vacation. in fact, you didn't even notice that his foot was wrapped up when you came out of the spa hours later.
And yes, I did.
No, actually, your best friend pointed it out.
So I didn't look down.
the point is that like even though it happened, and even though you weren't there to control it, and even though it happened in Mexico, which is not the perhaps mentally not the best of places to for it to happen, although medically it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah,
there was like no impact to it. So we knew where we had control over that situation. We knew where we needed to take ownership and do what we needed to do. And the whole rest of the vacation was totally fine.
Yeah, exactly. We managed, like you said, we knew what we had to do with it, and we knew kind of what to help him with expectation wise and pain wise. And we just managed it. And he was still, aside from that day, not being able to go in the water, of course, the next day he was able to pretty much perform any of the normal activities he was doing anyways.
Yep. But who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
And I think if you don't know that adversity is going to come at you at all kinds of unpredictable times, then that vacation might have been a totally different vacation. And you might have been like, oh man, like, why did this happen on my vacation? Why did it have to happen now? Why couldn't it have happened a month later, right?
Yep.
There, you have all these stories about like the what ifs, but the reality is that anytime, anywhere, adversity is going to come and try and kick you in the butt.
Yeah. And the sooner you can take ownership and control of that, the sooner you can get through it.
Yep.
Absolutely. So to recap today's takeaways, first one, control. How much are you letting adversity control you? Takeaway two, ownership. To what extent do you hold yourself responsible for improving the situation? And number three, adversity is unpredictable and can strike at any time. Our next topic is going to be on adversity part two, where we're going to dive more into reach and endurance and what you experience when you're getting up to big things.
We release podcasts every 2 weeks, so be sure to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app to journey with us and create your life by design.
Thanks for listening to the Life by Design podcast with your hosts, Jesslyn and Brian.